I'm Kim Singletary.
And I'm Rich Collins.
And you're listening to Biz Talks,
a weekly conversation with local business leaders about topics affecting New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Rich Collins. Today's guest is Joseph Toomey, chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the Port of New Orleans and veteran lawmaker who represented District 85 in the Louisiana State Legislature from 1984 until 2008. On today's episode, Toomey will talk about efforts to increase cooperation between the South Louisiana ports and Port NOLA's plans to build a new container terminal in St. Bernard Parish, not to mention the rebound of cruise ships. Joseph Toomey, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
So you are the first person appointed to a second term to the Port NOLA board in over 100 years. This second stint comes at a pivotal time for the port. What role does the board play? How does the board interact with Brandy Christian, the port president and CEO, her team, when all the decisions are being made and the port is piloting its future?
Well, all the final decisions on the policies for the board, policies as well as direction, are made by the Board of Commissioners. Brandy, of course, takes care of the day-to-day operations, but the commissioners have final responsibility for policy and direction and major expenditures as well.
Understood. Now, again, for someone who thinks port and they just think the ship's coming up the river, I know the port's got several major lines of business. Can you just run us through the categories of business that the port is in?
Well, one of the good things about the port, I've been involved for 15 years, and one of the constants is that, actually, there's two things that are constant. Port of New Orleans is unique in the fact that it has connections with the six Class I railroads. The other thing that's been very helpful over the years, especially with upturns and downturns in the economy and the pandemic and what have you, is the diversity of the port itself. The port deals in break bulk products, Port of New Orleans deals in containers, and the Port of New Orleans deals with cruise ships. In addition, we have a vibrant real estate section. So that diversity has been helpful where one area might be down, the other might be up. It's helped us to maintain continuity over the years.
There's five South Louisiana ports. Let's talk about the scope or the footprint of Port of New Orleans versus the other ones.
The Port of New Orleans jurisdiction encompasses three parishes, Orleans, Jefferson, and St. Bernard. But between Baton Rouge and the mouth of the river, there's actually five distinct ports. Each has its own board. But together, those five ports arguably represent the largest, the busiest port system in the world. So a lot of tonnage goes through the ports from Baton Rouge to the mouth of the river.
Can you talk a little bit about your thoughts about how the five ports can best work together, collaborate together for the betterment overall?
One of the things when I became chairman last year, that I told the board that I was interested in pursuing was to create a narrative of the five ports of the lower Mississippi. I've been able to do that, and it's been important at this point in time because this past year has seen a lot of criticism from the political as well as the business community of lack of coordination and cooperation among the ports, and it's viewed as too much internal competition. And as a result of that, the legislature took action this past year, which was quite unusual, but they took action to try to force the ports to coordinate more and put the best foot forward for Louisiana. So in this new year, you'll see in Baton Rouge that there'll be some efforts put together to force that coordination within the Department of Economic Development in Baton Rouge. So I was attempting to get the ports to create this narrative to meet. We've been meeting with the directors of the five ports as well as the chairman of the five ports to see where we can work together. to prepare for the legislation that's going to be enacted this year. And one of the pieces of legislation is directed at the five ports in the lower Mississippi. So it's necessary that we work together. This was kind of a proactive effort to prepare for having to have additional oversight from Baton Rouge. I'm happy to say that the last meeting that we had with the 10 of us, there was an agreement to pursue a joint study on cargo to see whether we have enough capacity to handle anticipated cargo, whether there's need to expand any facilities, and how we can bring more product into the market of the five ports. And essentially how we can best position Louisiana in its competition against other Gulf Coast ports, such as Mobile and Houston, which are very aggressive in the container market as well as others. So it's trying essentially to put the best foot forward for Louisiana. I've heard from the leadership in Baton Rouge, as well as the congressional delegation, that they want to see more coordination and cooperation so that we can put the best foot forward Louisiana and identify what are the priorities to best position Louisiana against out-of-state competition.
I know this is a very complicated question, but could the coordination cooperation ever become consolidation?
Well, at this point, there has not been talk of consolidation. I do think that's always a possibility in Baton Rouge. I think this is our year to show coordination and cooperation in identifying the best priorities for Louisiana. If we don't take advantage of that opportunity, I think the legislature may take a step further in further oversight or discussing consolidation. But we have an opportunity this year to work within the existing framework to best position Louisiana.
I know the Port of New Orleans is a state agency of sorts. I mean, it doesn't get any tax money. It generates all its own income. Is that more or less true for the other four as well? Are they similar models, or is one of them an outlier?
Yes. Basically, the same setup with all operating under the same rules. They do have different mechanisms for appointing members to the boards of commissions that they have. But the appointment process is different, but the day-to-day operations are similar among the five ports.
Right. Now, I can think...
The operations are similar, but they each have a different focus, whereas Port of New Orleans is unique in that it handles containers. It's unique in that it handles cruise ships. The other ports might focus on, like in Plaquemine with a lot of development, LNG, Baton Rouge, a lot of petrochemical. South Louisiana handles a lot of bulk cargo. So there is a different focus among the business focus among the five ports, but we operate under the same framework.
Right. And it makes sense. I know that in New Orleans, where, you know, containers are coming off the ships right here in a major, metropolitan area, there's different types of cargo that you feel comfortable dealing with than you would, say, in a location further upriver or further downriver where there's not such a population density.
Yeah. And what's happened in recent years is more and more products are put in containers. And that's why our focus this past 2 years has been on developing this new container terminal. Virtually every product that can be stuffed into a container is put into a container, because that's just the easiest way of moving it nowadays, from its origin all the way to its final destination. And the necessity for us to build a new container terminal downriver is created because the larger ships that are now moving containers are too large for us to get to Napoleon Avenue because of the height restriction with the Crescent City Connection. So wherever we put it, the new terminal had to be downriver from the Crescent City Connection. So where we are building a new container terminal in Violet, there are no height restrictions. So we can handle ships that are more than twice the size of what we can currently handle. And the ships are bigger and bigger that are on the oceans to carry more containers. So we don't want to miss the opportunity to get the larger ships. Otherwise, they'll go to Mobile and Houston and skip New Orleans.
As I understand, it's like a bus route. You know, these ships come in from wherever they're coming, and they stop Houston, New Orleans, Mobile. And if we can't accommodate the new larger ships, we get skipped, right?
That's really the bottom line. And we don't want to do that because there's just so many ancillary businesses to the container terminal. It's important not only to the New Orleans economy, but the state of Louisiana.
Now, so let's segue into LIT. This is obviously, you know, I've seen so many presentations where so many people make the case for why we need it to be able to keep up with Mobile, keep up with Houston, to be able to accommodate those larger ships. There's plenty of high profile people from the federal, state level, and city level on down fully in support of this. There are also still some detractors, you know, that now the lieutenant governor is one of the new people sort of expressing support for the same, you know, the same St. Bernard folks. Can you talk about address those concerns and explain why this project needs to happen and how it can happen in a way that will assuage those fears?
Yeah, we've been fortunate to get significant support from Baton Rouge, former governor, as well as the existing, as well as the new governor, and solid support from the congressional delegation, demonstrated by the $300 million over the past month that was appropriated for this terminal in St. Bernard. One of the key ingredients to making the new terminal work in St. Bernard is dealing with traffic that would be created by the terminal. We have committed to building what's referred to as the St. Bernard Transportation Corridor that would take the truck traffic directly from the container terminal to the interstate. Regional Planning Commission is currently working on the alignment for that roadway. We're hoping to have something as soon as April. Once we get that alignment, we can get some solid cost on what it would take. But we are committed to building this. And in addition, the trucking industry is supportive of that project because they know they want to get in and out as quickly as they can to move the trucks. They don't want to get involved in local traffic patterns. But what the Regional Planning Commission is looking at is not only the truck movement, but they're doing a comprehensive study of transportation within St. Bernard, looking at all of the movement of vehicles in St. Bernard, and more specifically, the alignment for the new transportation corridor.
Does alignment mean the route? Is that what that means?
Yes. And it's that's an important part of determining the cost and of the project. And they look at all of the transportation network within St. Bernard so that it not only facilitates the port, but has the minimal impact on local traffic. We think that that project, as much as any, is going to address some of the concerns and fears about impacting local traffic. And understandably, there's a great deal of concern about that. But we are doing everything we can to address that issue. And that's always been part of our plan, to get that truck traffic out of the local traffic network.
I saw that there was a company hired to do an analysis, and one of the things they're figuring out is how the road will get paid for. And it sounds like one likely possibility is that it'll be a toll road, essentially, and the
trucking community has given a green light to a toll road. It's not uncommon in port facilities to create a toll road to move the trucks in and out because they make their money on being able to move in and out quickly. So it's worth it to them to pay a toll to get those turnarounds as quickly as possible.
Now, I want to sort of join the two topics we were just talking about. One is LIT and the necessity for this terminal, Port Nola's belief in the St. Bernard site. And then I want to jump back to the thought of cooperation between the ports. This is a test because at the same time that all of this St. Bernard planning has happened, I know the port downriver from us, Plaquemines, has talked about their own container terminal development as well. And they had, there was maybe 2 years ago more than now, there was a debate about which one should be the one. And down there, it's outside of the levees. And then how would they get the, where would the trains go if they have to get the material? And then it was there, but they're balancing that with the thought about, the St. Bernard traffic. How much does this come up in the conversations that you're having with the other port officials to try and build that cooperation? Is there a thought about, yes, Plaquemines should make these changes and focus on this, and then the containers should all move down to St. Bernard, or is it still kind of a work in progress?
Well, the study that was done by the Port of New Orleans, as well as the recent study that was done by the Port of Plaquemines, is that you can only support one container facility. We just don't have the volume within the New Orleans area to support multiple container facilities. And with the commitment from Baton Rouge as well as Washington, we are moving full speed ahead on the container terminal in Violet. And we think because of the rail that's available, the networking that we'll have with the interstate, we think that's the best project is at this point in time. Plaquemines, they can speak for themselves, but being outside the federal hurricane protection area is one concern. And then they have transportation issues to address as well, as with the rail as well as the truck.
What is the threshold crossed when the LIT is happening versus likely going to happen? What has to occur?
Right now we are in the design and permitting phase. We think within this year we'll complete that permitting phase, which is critical. That normally takes anywhere from 1 to 2 years. We're probably midway through that permitting phase now. Once we get the permits, then we can move ahead. And the anticipation is to get the permits by the end of this year, to begin construction in early 25, and to have the first operation in place for the port in 28.
Understood. And just not to get too lost in the weeds, and who exactly are we waiting for permits from? Is it federal and state, or just state?
Well, both. The federal, probably more so, but in both cases, environmental related things of that nature. But that really gives us the final go ahead to move on to the construction phase.
Moving up river, there was obviously another big controversy from the last year and a half, let's say, which was Avondale and the Port of South Louisiana's plan to purchase Avondale from the host folks that are operating it as a commerce gateway right now. So what's your vision as you're working your way up the river? You're picturing what is the relevance and the best use for Avondale?
Well, that's a good question. There's some things that are restricted because of the bridges. And you can't get cruise ships up there. You can't get container ships up there. But there is a lot of property within Avondale and around Avondale. So the opportunities there are for things such as distribution centers or value-added centers where you can bring products in and add value to it by doing some sort of manufacturing. We don't really have the space to do that kind of thing within Orleans Parish. Jefferson Parish in the vicinity of Avondale has a lot of opportunities because of the network that's there for transportation, as well as the land mass that's available. So those kind of things the state's been talking about for years about creating value added. There are opportunities there at Avondale. We have met a couple of times with the Port of South Louisiana in trying to determine the best use and to work with them and to work with hosts if they're going to remain there to create an environment at Avondale, economic development environment that's best for Jefferson Parish. Now, from the beginning of this process, the T. Parker host, they entered discussions with Port of South Louisiana rather than Port of New Orleans. But we stand ready to assist in any way to create a more vibrant economic development opportunity within Jefferson Parish.
Gotcha. But as you envision it, it would be packaging or some kind of value-added manufacturing process, taking advantage of the real estate and the proximity to all the rail and the trucking opportunities.
And then, around that area, because of the property, we'd love to see some sort of distribution centers created and just some synergies of economic development.
Another thing that I know that's been a concern of yours is the desire to demolish unusable waterfront properties. Talk me through that. There's just some.
If you were to come in on a riverboat or a cruise ship or ride the Natchez or anything similar to that, you would see some dilapidated properties that are unused, unusable, and in some cases, literally falling in the river. it's easy to focus on just the new projects and forget about some of these things that are in disrepair, and not just disrepair, but to the point of being unusable. Because they're the shape they're in, they're not only unsightly from a vantage point of the river, but they're dangerous if people were to go out on them. My thought is that, it's a big elephant. It's very expensive, and we just need to do it a piece at a time. So the port has, I've been urging them to, at a year at a time, and we're projected out several years, to demolish these wharf facilities, riverfront facilities that are no longer usable, to clean those sites, which would make them more attractive for development in the future. If we have business prospects coming in, it's more likely they're going to want to develop on a piece of property that's already clean than something that they have to pay for the demolition and then build on it. Okay. So I think it's not only aesthetically sound, it's safety sound. I think it's economic development sound to clean these properties.
Is there an example of just one that's really a glaring eyesore?
Well, there's several that are owned by the port, and those are the ones we're addressing.
Gotcha.
And there's ones, there's some that are not controlled by the port that are close to Mardi Gras World, close to the new river district, that are probably in worse shape. And that would particularly be nice in those areas where we have pedestrian traffic and activities other than commercial activities to clean up those sites. It's an unattractive nuisance, and it's a safety concern at this point to have them in that kind of condition.
I don't know if this falls into that category, but there's two young developers that want to take that piece of that unused property right above the fly on the east bank of the river and turn it into a hospitality space. I know they're facing plenty of opposition from the neighborhood already, but is that almost what you're talking about? Converting disused
property. Really, what I'm talking about it's primarily the walk facilities, to clean those up, remove those, and to have it available for additional port-related development, to keep it within the port structure.
Understood. Hey, so one really good news, bit of good news, I actually just published it this morning right before we got on the phone, was the Port NOLA's report that we are officially back to pre-pandemic numbers for the cruise industry. You hinted at it a little bit earlier, but can you just talk about the importance of that to the port, but also to the tourism economy overall?
Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful that we're back. We have, 1.2 passenger movements, which is as much as we had before the pandemic. This past week, we've seen the Disney cruise ship come in, which in itself brings a lot of excitement. But we've got, we've got two Carnival cruise ships that are home based here year round. We've got Norwegian. We signed a new agreement with them. They're bringing a new ship in November.
The Breakaway.
Royal Caribbean bringing a new ship back in November as well. And the interesting thing in that report is that 73% of the people that come in stay for a day or two in New Orleans, which the estimate is that it creates $125 million a year spending in New Orleans just related to the cruise industry. But in addition to those ocean-going ships, we're now home port for 9 riverboats. And that's a growing business, an attractive business. And we see more of those coming online. In fact, I had a study initiated a while back to see what are the facilities where we could dock additional riverboats. So that's a growing industry as well. So it's been very positive, the ocean going as well as the river cruise industry.
I was at a presentation at the port last week, and somebody was talking about the combination of these river cruises, and especially some of the high end ones, combined with all of that riverfront investment that we've seen in the city over the last 5 years, with the Four Seasons and what Harrah's is doing, it's created a new type of visitor. You know, somebody who comes in, they stay at the Four Seasons, they get on these high-end cruise ships and they go up and down the river. It's good overall for tourism.
No, it's very good. When we did this river cruise study, it was to determine where to best locate additional dockings, because everybody wants to be either downtown New Orleans or at Mardi Gras World, and we can see where we're running out of docking space there. So the study was to look outside of New Orleans in Jefferson Parish and St. Bernard at the likelihood of docking river cruises in other locations outside of Orleans Parish.
As you're looking at the New Orleans economy right now and looking ahead, what makes you worried? And more importantly, what makes you optimistic?
Well, I think everybody's concerned about the impact of crime, but it appears to be a new emphasis on the new administration in Baton Rouge to work with the city of New Orleans to address that. And I think on the economic development front, I've been very impressed with the new administration in Baton Rouge, that their focus has really been on how Louisiana can put its best foot forward in economic development efforts. And I'm very optimistic with the new administration in their focus on economic development, creating jobs within Louisiana.
Joseph Toomey, Chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the Port of New Orleans, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your wisdom with us today.
And my pleasure. Good morning.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Biz Talks. If you like what you hear each week, don't forget to rate us and leave a comment wherever you listen to your podcasts. And follow us on social media at Biz New Orleans. For more information or to contact us, please visit bizneworleans.com/biztalks.